Turning with me tonight, please, in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Reading from verse 16 down to the end of this chapter. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We'll pause for prayer. Lord, we ask for the stillness of heaven and for the attention to the things of God by every heart. I pray tonight for the infilling of thy Spirit. I ask thee, Lord, to come and help me. We know that the flesh is weak. Human intellect is so limited. Lord, we pray for that unction from heaven, that anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, upon the word of the Lord, that the words of men that are so weak, and Lord, it has pleased thee to use instrumentality that is so weak, and yet we come depending more so upon our God. For as the apostle said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Help us to know that strength and power of God. Help us, we ask, to learn what it is to pray in the Holy Spirit, to pray and to supplicate the throne of grace, to come to God with confidence, with power in prayer. Lord, make each one of us men and women of prayer in this congregation. Speak to our hearts now tonight. Comfort and encourage us. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Confidence toward the Lord. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight and speak to you about from the Lord's Word. Thinking about verses 21 and 22. He said, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God? Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You see, obedience is a link and a key to answered prayer. Obedience, the Lord counts very, very close in this word, to the believer coming and knowing that his prayers will be answered. How so? Because the Lord tells us in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's very simple. And believer, you know in your heart tonight if there is some abiding sin. And if you have abiding sin in your life, you cannot come with confidence toward God. It's impossible. Why? Because each time you will seek God in prayer, every time you will come to the Lord, that thing will rise up before your mind, and you will have to consciously put it out of your mind in order to try and go through the facade of praying. We can't have confidence toward the Lord in prayer if there is sin in our hearts. I would say it's the desire of every believer that we would have a confidence that is talked about in this verse of Scripture, so that when we come to ask the Lord of something, we will have the assurance that the Lord hears us, and we will have the petition that we desire of the Lord. But we have to be honest. Very often, we do not have such confidence or power in our prayers. Very often, we find ourselves extremely limited, or we find ourselves trammeled. We're kept down, kept back. We don't have that. And we lament our impotence in prayer. We lament our weakness before God. We don't have this boldness, certainly, that we were talking about this morning about Samuel. There was a man who had confidence to draw near to God. He had boldness. He had the assurance that as he sought the Lord, God would hear and answer that man's prayer. Those of you who are not here with us this morning in our service, it was a challenge to the fathers, a challenge to each of us, because if we are not men of prayer and men of God, all of our activity will be vain and empty. Oh, it's not that we are to be indolent in our action for the Lord's work. We are to be serving God with all of our energies. But you cannot put the energy and the action before prayer. In fact, if prayer is not involved in our work, then our work is going to be more like spinning our wheels without going forward. There may be different reasons why you do not have this confidence and power with God. Maybe if you're a young Christian here tonight, or a young person, it's because of your ignorance of the teachings of Scripture on the very fact of prayer and how you should be engaged in prayer before the Lord. Maybe you're not certain of the doctrinal base that you have to approach to God. That's a possibility. If so, then come and confess your ignorance before God and come to search the Scriptures to find out what the Lord has to say about your prayer. If you have to admit that the example of those around you has not been very encouraging for prayer, that's a shame for other Christians. But nonetheless, you cannot use that as an excuse. But come to the Lord and plead your ignorance and ask Him for help. Maybe as a Christian on the road for a long time, you're a busy person. And you have to say that your commitments and your busyness have taken the place of your communion with God. Busy Christians can never use the excuse that I have no time to seek the Lord. Because if we try to use that excuse, then we have to confess we are just too busy doing other things. The quiet place has been neglected. You've not spent time with the Lord as once you did. In fact, your heart may be cold, almost like a stone cold tonight. And you have to confess that sin before the Lord. And I'll tell you something, there's no quick fix to this. There's nothing you can come along and just snap your fingers and all is going to be well again. And if you go through your Christian life and your journey continues on, one day will turn to 2 months, into 2 years, and to 10 years down the road, and things haven't changed. In fact, what has happened? It's become colder, and you have become cemented in your present bad habits. And your communion with the Lord, well, it's almost non-existent. confidence toward God in prayer. I believe the life of the prophet Samuel that we spoke about today testified to us that he had a conscience void of offense toward God. The same as the apostle Paul said, he strove always to have a clear heart, a clear mind with God, because if his mind and heart were clear to the Lord and he had an open access in prayer, then his prayers would be heard and answered. And so I want to talk to you tonight on this subject of your confidence before God in prayer. We might understand and apply this profound teaching, yet it is a very direct and simple teaching from the Lord's Word in our life. And that we ask you, first of all, what is the basis of this confidence that you and I need to have? What is it based on? Well, I'll tell you what it's not based on, first of all. This confidence is not based upon how many years you've been a Christian. It's not based upon how many times you've read through your Bible. It's certainly not based on the fact that you attend services in this congregation or that you're a member here. It's not based upon any of those things. It's not based upon the fact that you were brought up as a young person in a God-fearing home. You can't use that as a reason why you have some confidence to come to God in prayer. My friend, let me tell you, first of all, the only basis of confidence that you will have is in the work that Jesus Christ has done on your behalf. Let us not forget or be sidetracked that in every part of our Christian walk, and especially our praying, we must look to Calvary. We must look to the cross. We must look to what the Lord Jesus has done on our account. And this alone and of itself is the basis of our confidence and of how we're able to go through with God in prayer. And when we think about the work of Christ, we need to pray that God would write upon our minds and hearts the deep value, the deep worth of the work that Jesus Christ has done on our account so that we are able to approach to God at all. Do you remember back in the days of Moses and Mount Sinai when God was present and revealing himself to Moses and the command was given that the people around were not able to come near that mountain? They were not able to approach near unto the Lord. If they had done so, it would have meant death. But now, we being justified, being reconciled, we are brought into the family of God. We are no longer strangers and foreigners, as Ephesians chapter 2 talks about, but we have been made fellow citizens and of the household of faith. We have been brought into, by the work that Jesus Christ has done, we have been brought into that family. And so that the ground of our confidence and approach to God is based upon what our Lord has done for us. And you see, that there in turn will grant and give to us a boldness and a confidence that we have through him. And it is not only the work that he did on Calvary, but it's the work that Jesus Christ continues to do in his intercessory work, his high priestly ministry that's ongoing for us even now today. And it's based upon the work that the Lord is doing that we have boldness and access in prayer. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, it talks there about Abraham and the fact he did not stagger at the promise of God, even in the face of the death of Isaac, his only son. You see, the truth that God is emphasizing to us in the illustration is that Abraham was a man who walked in faith, but he walked in faith that was based upon the very promise of the Lord's word, the promise that God was going to even raise up Isaac from the dead. It was God's promise that Abraham was banking on. It was the word of Christ. And friends, if you and I understand and realize that our intercession is based on the work of Christ and based on the word of Christ, then we have access with confidence to the Lord in prayer. Are we fully persuaded in our own minds? Are we fully persuaded, as Abraham was, that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead? Are we fully persuaded that the Lord will keep the very word he has talked about? We could say, as the angel said to Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Friends, nothing is too hard for the God whom we serve. And the word of God is where we must anchor. It's where we must secure our praying, praying upon the word, praying upon the promises. And when that is done, we have confidence based upon the greatest authority. It is the authority that God cannot lie, and he has given us his word. If you turn over a chapter in 1 John 5 and verse 14, you'll see these words. And this is the confidence that we have in him, or the confidence that we have through him. And the confidence that you and I have, it is based in the Lord himself. Ah, believer, come to the Lord with the full assurance and confidence that you are welcome, that you are able. But we also have in our text, drawing out this truth, that there is a boldness that is of this confidence toward God. In Ephesians chapter 3 and the 12th verse, it uses the word boldness there. And it is the same word that we have in 1 John 3 and 21. It is access with confidence, or a convincing argument. And so here the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesian Christians that you have a convincing argument to present your request before the Lord. And again, remember, the convincing argument is not how many times you ask. It's not whatever worth or merit you think your cause is. It's not the value that you perceive you are coming to God in. But it is based upon the boldness, the access with confidence upon the Lord and upon the Christ of God. That is what enables us to have this boldness. Do you have a right to come to the Lord in prayer? You most certainly have a right to come. And do you have a reason to come? You have a great reason to come. Then the question is, why do we tarry? Why do we hold off? Why do we fail to get close to the Lord? You know, it's true that many of us as Christians, we may well enter in, but we often fail to draw near to the Lord. Think of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Think of the people who were able to come through those gates and or the tent and the curtains into the outer court. They made one step in coming in, but coming close to the Lord. Friends, you and I are not only welcome to come in the door, but we are welcome to the very place of the Lord. And we have confidence and full assurance to draw near in faith. You see, confidence says to the Christian, I know this is true. But boldness says, I am not afraid. I will come forward and I will lay hold upon God. And therefore he tells us in Hebrews 4 and 19, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of our need. Do you have need tonight? Bring that need to the Lord in prayer. Do you have timidity? Set that aside. Come, believer, and seek the Lord with all your heart. And know that when you come, you have access to the Lord. You know what the biggest problem that we have often is? We feel our great unworthiness. We feel unworthy, and that is the masterful stroke of the devil in our life. He will bring up to you some sin that you have committed. He'll bring up to you something in the past, and that thing that he brings up to you, or else it's some present feeling of unworthiness, and you feel, I cannot come to the Lord because, and all of these excuses come up. And we feel ourselves so useless often, so worthless. But friend, remember, it's not based upon your usefulness. It's not based upon your feeling of being worthy. We come to the Lord in prayer and we're accepted to Him because we have been justified fully and freely by His grace. So we cast ourselves upon the finished work of Christ. We cast ourselves and enter on the Word of Christ. And we have a welcome. We have boldness. We have confidence to enter. And the Lord has told us, none daring to make us afraid. We have all this in our Lord Jesus. But there is something else here. There is the blessing and the benefit that a Christian will draw from this confidence. In 1 John 3 and verse 22, it says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. You know, when we came to the Lord in conversion, when God's Spirit laid hold upon us and He drew us to Himself, we prayed then for the Lord to forgive us our sin. And we prayed and He removed our guilt from us. He removed our fear from us, the fear of what friends would think, the fear of what family would think, and He removed those things and He enabled us by His gracious drawing, and we laid our hope and our faith upon the Savior. And friends, that was a blessing and the benefit of our salvation and our confident drawing near to the Lord because of that invitation the Lord blessed us with. He delivers us from our fears. In Psalm 46 and verse 2, it tells us about the earth being removed and cast into the depths of the sea. And yet God remains our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, the knowledge of answered prayer will strengthen the heart of the child of God. And knowing that God has heard and has answered your prayers will give you a boldness and a confidence to come back and approach again. But remember, it's not your experience. It's not your worthiness. It's not the worth of your cause. It is always going to be based upon the Lord's work and His word. And the Lord tells us that a man's knowledge maketh his face to shine. And so when you know you have boldness and access to the Lord in prayer, indeed your face will shine with that confidence. You will be happy and the world will know that you're walking with God, you're communing with God, you have confidence in His presence moment by moment. Let me ask you, does your face shine with the knowledge of answered prayer? Does your face glow with the presence of the Lord moment by moment? What if we don't have this confidence? What are you to do? Thinking, well, that may apply to the pastor, it may apply to elders, it may apply to deacons, it may apply to someone else, but it doesn't apply to me because I don't have this confidence. No, friend, you cannot think like that. If you're saved by the Lord's grace, this confidence is yours, and it's yours to receive. But remember, the Lord also said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the Lord means by that, and really in one sense, that if you are double-minded in not taking the Lord at His word, then of course you're going to be uncertain about the outcome when you approach the Lord in prayer. Be not double-minded, but rather be confident in simple childlike faith to receive the Lord's word, believe His promise. And if the Lord promises you, come in prayer, ask of me what you will. And as we ask the Lord according to His will, because remember, the Christian would never want something outside of God's will. The Christian is always mindful in their prayers. I want the will of God. Lord, if I ask a prayer and it's not your will, then please do not give me the answer to that one. We always must be mindful of having the Lord's will fulfilled and revealed in and through us. It says, let not that man think he shall receive anything. You see, the logical conclusion is, unfortunately, sometimes people come to, what's the point of praying? I don't feel I have confidence. I'm double-minded in my ways. Therefore, what's the point of coming and talking to the Lord about anything? And that's exactly where the devil wants you to be, a prayerless Christian. Not having that boldness and confidence, he's won a signal victory. Therefore, how do I obtain this confidence? First of all, understand this, that Jesus Christ has already purchased it for you. And therefore, it is a possession that belongs to us. We have this access. We have this confidence. Let us take it then and say, Lord, I believe the word of God. Remember, secondly, there can be no sin in the camp of your heart. Because as I said in my opening comment, if sin resides in us, if there is an aching in our hearts, then it must be removed because we have to have a clear conscience before the Lord. Remember, a conscience void of offense toward God, toward men. No sin in the camp. And to pray for the infilling of God's Spirit, to pray by the direction of God's Spirit, to pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit in your own prayer ministry and life. And believer, the Lord will shower out upon you these blessings and benefits as a result of our confident approach unto the Lord. Samuel, a man of prayer, a man of boldness, a man of confidence. But I look in this congregation tonight, and I know that there are prayer warriors. There are people who know how to get alone with God and pray through a matter. But maybe you're saying, I have a deficiency here. Then pray right now where you are that God will resolve that question of deficiency, that the Lord will deal with our hearts. And I assure you, I am praying for you, and I ask that you will pray for me, that God will strengthen us all. And may this church here, this particular denomination, be known as a people of prayer, men and women who know how to intercede with God, and that our prayers are answered for the glory and honor of Christ. And you see, friends, I know the Lord which sees in secret, he rewards openly. And the Lord that hears in secret, he rewards openly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find that grace to help in time of need. Please take your hymnal now. We're going to close our service by singing hymn number 20. This is a very good hymn, and it has a one line in there that I specifically want you to notice. Hymn number 20, Abba, Father, we approach thee in our Savior's precious name. We thy children here assembling, now the promised blessing claim. From our sins his blood has washed us. 'Tis through him our souls draw nigh. And the Spirit too has taught us, Abba, Father, thus to cry. Let's stand, please, as we sing. Father, tonight we bless thee for the great joy and privilege to thy people that we can approach to thy heavenly throne. We thank thee, Lord, tonight. There is none that makes us afraid, except the fear we bring upon ourselves and the false fear that the devil so often brings to our minds. Let us stand tonight in the joy and fullness and blessing of all that our Lord Jesus has done for us. Hear, Lord, this our prayer tonight. Continue to be with us and bless us. Let us be known as a praying congregation. Let that testimony be spread far and wide in this nation of Canada and around the world. Let the missionaries feel the weight of our prayers for them. Let the ungodly feel the weight of our prayers for them. Lord, we pray that those who are connected with families in this congregation who are still unsaved, let them feel the weight of the prayers of this people for them. Bring them to Christ, we ask. Lord, hear us now. Bless our time of fellowship downstairs. Receive our thanksgiving for the good things provided. Part us now, Lord, in thy fear, and with thy blessing, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.